8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Good evening to you, Anya. Welcome to your authoritative news analysis program, Behind the News, where we examine issues from the perspective of newsmakers and experts. My name is Agatha Samoa, and tonight, government downplays U.S. cable to its citizens in Ghana of the possibility of violence after the Supreme Court verdict on the 29th of this month. Tonight, we find out whether the U.S. has this time taken a wrong direction in such matters. The call for peace taking to a different level as candidates in the last general elections planned separate peace talks with President Mahama and Nana Akufo-Addo, and NPP activist in Tamale sentenced to death for part in political violence in 2009. What happened to four others who have been in jail since the incident 4 years ago? Join me in the next hour as we discuss these issues. You can also join the discussions by text 0240 971087 0240 971087. Behind the News is live on Unique FM 95.7 in Accra, Obonu FM 96.5 in Tema, Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast, and Twin City 94.7 in Takoradi. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. There is more to peace than you think. If you consider all the peace talks enough to put out any smoke of disturbance before and after the Supreme Court verdict, take a break and listen. Presidential candidates in the 2012 election have decided to take the peace moves to another level. They have scheduled a high-profile meeting with President John Mahama and Nana Akufo-Addo tomorrow, with the sole aim of impressing on them to accept the verdict of the Supreme Court on the election petition. So how different would this move be from all the others we have witnessed prior to this time? And what unique message do they have for President Mahama and Nana Addo? And we have on the line Hassan Ayaga, who is the PNC presidential candidate in the 2012 election. Good evening, Mr. Ayaga, and you are welcome.
Good evening to you, and good evening to your listeners.
Have the two men accepted to meet you?
Yes. We are scheduled to meet with Honorable Nana Akufo-Addo at his residence 11 a.m. in the morning. And then later in the day at 1 p.m., we will meet His Excellency John Dramani Mahama too in his residence.
But Mr. Ayaga, who mooted for this idea?
I actually initiated this idea because I believe that eight of us went into the elections. And we are out of the elections, and we are still finding difficulties with the results of the elections. And we believe that as a group of presidential candidates who contested them, we think it is necessary to talk to them and to appeal to them to allow peace to win and to continue to maintain peace in this country. For us, it is important to note that there are many elections that will come after 2012. And if we are not given the mandate for 2012, we believe that Ghanaians will make another decision in 2016 and 2012 as well. So we think that there is no need to put this country into a very hectic manner. And we think that it is necessary for all of us to fight for the peace of this country. We represent this nation. We are supposed to fight, maintain peace, and also make sure that this peace reaches the ordinary Ghanaian.
With this particular meeting, is it to suggest that all that has been done to ensure peace is not enough?
I think that there is one thing I need to make clear. The verdict of the election petition is not different from the waiting of a result of an election. Ghanaians have, over the years, witnessed many different types of elections. For me and for my colleagues, we see it as election that has taken place and people are waiting for the results. So we need to let them understand that it is not going to cause any havoc or non-mayor, or it will put the country into a dangerous mood. We believe that Ghanaians should get affected the way it is, and they also should appeal to their followers and supporters to believe in them and to accept that whoever becomes the winner of this verdict or this petition is not the only winner. Ghana, we all together have won. So we should accept this and maintain peace and continue to preach peace and believe that there are many elections after this one.
But Mr. Ayaga, these are people you fiercely contested, debated them at times, condemned their personalities and ideas on many platforms, and some of you taking sides at some point after the elections. Why should they take your intentions as genuine?
In the first place, nobody is taking sides of any elections. We believe in the truth. We believe in the matter that concerns the general public. In every political party, you have a vision, you have a policy, you have a program, and you have your strategy. If my strategy does not go along your strategy, it does not mean that I don't support your vision, but it's that we have different kinds, types of vision and different kinds of vision. The only difference between a political party and another is not just the vision, but it's how to implement those visions when given the mandate. So we do criticize one another because some have gotten that mandate and could not make good use of that mandate. So if you are not able to make good use of the mandate given to you, sometimes we criticize you and say, yes, you had it all, but you could not perform. So give another person a chance to see what that person can do or what that person can do for his people. It's not about criticism. It's about the reality of Guam.
So what should we expect from tomorrow's meeting?
Tomorrow's meeting is a very peaceful. It's just between the presidential candidates of all the political parties that contested the election, including the independent candidate with Nana Akufo-Addo and His Excellency the President of the Republic of Ghana, to accept the verdict and also to appeal to Ghanaians. After the meeting, we will have a press conference the next day to also talk to our fellow Ghanaians and our supporters as well, to respect the rule of law and to understand that Ghana is bigger than all of us. And for us, we believe that we have lost. If Ghanaians want to give us a mandate next time, we believe in them. But we want to give them the only thing that nobody else can give them. And the only thing that they can give themselves is peace. The national cake is not shared equally, but peace is shared equally. So we should believe in peace, believe in Ghana, and believe in ourselves. And when we do that, Ghana will be at peace, and everybody will heal us. In any way, going to court is a level of democracy. It's a level that's deepening our democracy. But it doesn't mean that we should go to war after it. It's a new page of democracy and the rule of law in Ghana. We have practiced it. We should complete it. We should abide by it. We should accept it. And we should promote it.
You said there will be a press conference tomorrow. But then, are there any plans also to meet supporters of both sides, the NPP and the NDC as well?
The press conference is not coming tomorrow. The press conference is coming on Thursday. Tomorrow is the meeting with the two presidential candidates, and thereafter the press conference will come. And the press conference is not appealing to the MPP alone. We are appealing to Ghanaians. We believe that there are many Ghanaians who do not understand the concept of peace, and we think that it is necessary for them to understand that peace is the only thing that we enjoy. There are many Ghanaians who have taken entrenched position, and many too who are left to their feet, who you find them under inside uncompleted buildings, under the trees, who this information and this message does not get to them because they do not possess or have a television set, nor have a radio set. So some of this, we are appealing to government to make sure that this information gets to them wherever they are. These are people who can easily cause havoc or mayhem, and these are the people who we want to appeal to them to not. Sometimes they feel deserted, but we want to let them understand that no, it is the situation. By His grace, by Almighty Allah, we shall correct those situations.
All right, just hold the line for me. We are also joined on the line by Dr. Sue Richardson, a political scientist. Good evening, Doc, and you are welcome.
Good evening, thanks a lot.
Well, Doc, from a political perspective, is this move by the other presidential candidates to meet Nana Akufo-Addo and President Mahama so important in bringing peace?
Thanks for this wonderful privilege and opportunity to talk to this important subject. Good evening to your cherished listeners. I will answer the question this way. there, you know, there is a consensus, and indeed, it is emerged following the Supreme Court hearing of this contempt case, the last contempt case in which Sejong, you know, and Kofinai Adoye were sentenced and fined or convicted and fined for various sums of money. And the consensus was this, that right from the word go, nobody should have commented on the Supreme Court hearing of the petition, you know, filed by Nana Akufo-Addo and others, you know, over the validity or otherwise of the 2012 December elections, as declared by the Electoral Commissioner, Mr. Afrijan, on behalf of the Electoral Commission. In civilized societies, you know, no commentaries are run on the media. In the media, what is done is that lecturers in the lecture rooms, you know, within the confines of the lecture halls, do analyze the issues without going into the merits and demerits of the case. And I think that these commentaries went on because most of us were, I think, ignorant of that fact to a very large extent. And I think even Mr. Ayikwe, the former attorney general, you know, sometime last week, you know, emphasized this point, you know, very strongly. So the point is that if a petition has been sent, there's one point of view, you know, that it is not necessary. A petition has been made on the basis of the Constitution for the court to look at election results, you know, and we must have allowed the court to reach its decision, all right? This all talk about peace seem to have rather raised tension. You know, if people have not spoken about peace, I think everything would have been quiet. No comment, everything would have been quiet. We would have watched the proceedings on television, and Ghanaians would have formed their own opinions and judgment, you know, about the case. What I also suspect, on the other hand, is that this attempt about peace has also been made against the backdrop of our, you know, democratic, historical democratic experiences, you know, given the fact that governments in Africa, you know, tend to be more powerful than civil societies. That's in the capital. Although they lack legitimacy, but they tend to have power, and but they lack legitimacy. And if I should go back a little, let's trace what has happened to judicial decisions and how government has used them. Kwame Nkrumah, you know, we had this attempt on Nkrumah's life in which TV Adamasu and others were arrested. You know, and the Supreme Court, you know, chaired by Siyaku Kosa, you know, found them not guilty, acquitted and discharged them. Kwame Nkrumah disagreed. Three other few and others, and sent Siyaku Kosa, you know, and other members of the court. That was in 1964, all right, including the Inspector General of Police at the time, Majiti, okay, who was Commissioner of Police from the colonial times, Goku times. Then we came to 1969, and this infamous there was this man, what's his name, who was the managing director of VNTC. You know, he sent his match, following a interpretation of constitutional provision, Mujia dismissed him, and he sent the matter to the Supreme Court for review. Supreme Court ruled in favor of the gentleman, unfortunately I've forgotten his name, and Mujia, first accepting the court decision somewhat, it became controversial, came out to make a declaration, a statement that the court cannot compel the government to employ anyone. It became the infamous no court matter. And this has been a subject of intense controversy since that time.
All right.
Then in 1979, in 1980, when the man, you know, was voted into power as a president, you know, under led the man as president, you know, the PMT-led administration, he appointed a sitting chief justice, who was Mr. Apalu. And Mr. Palut contested his appointment in the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court moved in favor of Mr. Palut. Now, Dr. Hillel Lehman, having learned his historical lessons, was quite accepted the decision and was quiet about it. What this shows is that it is governments in Africa who have, over the years, refused to accept the rulings of the court. And with respect to democratic politics, the courts are there to uphold the rights of the citizen in as much as it also carries out the responsibilities of the state. Mm-hmm. And nobody goes to the court to exercise power. Of course, even whatever powers are vested in the court or in the other institutions, legislature and the executive, they are meant to be sufficient to be able to carry out their functions and duties and responsibilities to, you know, for the citizen or towards the citizen.
All right.
And I think that on this basis, this move by the other, what is that? Is it presidential candidate?
Yes.
It's unnecessary. I think it's uncalled for. You know, some of them have compromised their positions. That during the debate, including Ayaga himself, you know, he was seen to have harassed Nana Akufo-Addo, you know, by coughing intermittently or, you know, that Nana Akufo-Addo, if he had not kept his cool, well, first of all, may have done something else. And some of them even were seen to be opposing Nana Akufo-Addo rather than clearly, manifestly, you know, contesting for power. And I think that they accepted the election results. Akufo-Addo and APP said that we don't accept the election results. And they must keep their quiet and then, you know, allow, we have only about a week or so to
do, right.
Allow the Supreme Court to, whatever, to come out with this verdict.
All
some
right.
of them have been presidential candidates, some of them have been presidential candidates because of where they have come from. Because I don't think any of them should regard themselves as being having any extraordinary knowledge or capabilities that some of us walking about in the street.
All right, Doc.
Allow the tenets of democratic policies, you know, to take hold. After all, Nana Akufo-Addo, as leader of NPP, since the matter went to court, has not acted one single word. And the NPP is not known to have taken arms against properly constituted constitutional government. On the other hand, NDC is the offspring of the PNDC, which was a military authoritarian regime. So
all right.
Place this in context.
All right, Doc, hold it for me. Let me go back to Mr. Ayaga. Mr. Ayaga, you heard Doc on the line that during the 2012 election, some of you compromised your relationship or your stance, especially you developed a poor relationship with Nanadu because of the tension you are alleged to have created during the presidential debate. So do you think he'll be happy to see you to talk peace with him tomorrow?
Thank you very much and good evening to Doc. I think I will make some clarifications and make Doc understand that the concept of politics is not about who compromises what and who supports what or who does what. Let him understand that, first of all, when he was talking about it was not necessary for people to talk about peace, I quite agree with him in a way, but I want to explain this to him to understand. In the past, we never had an election petition where it was heard and viewed live in everybody's radio and television. He should take that into consideration. In this current modern Ghana, we viewed it live, we heard it live. The interpretation of the law is not just watching the TV, what the lawyers say on air or what you view on your television. It has a different meaning and a different interpretation. So for that matter, people will think that I interpreted the law thinking that Nana Akufo-Addo won the election. Somebody will say that, oh, Addison spoke very well. Another person will say, no, that you spoke very well. So interpretation of the law must be very, very, accurate. And you and I cannot interpret it very well. So Ghanaians are now in a very in a mood that they don't understand the law very well. So we will need people to preach the peace, to let them understand that, look, you don't understand the law. You and I were not there. You and I did not, talk in favor of any political party. So what we want you to understand is to understand that no matter the verdict, accept it the way it is and don't think that because this man said this and this man said that, he won the petition case. That is one aspect. The second aspect, let me tell the gentleman, he should not throw his feelings about Nana Akufo-Addo or Hassan Ayaga coughing at the time of the debate. Before the debate, I publicly made my intentions clear that I was not going to attend the debate because I was sick and I was coughing. Ghanaians all over, even including those MPP guys and NDP, some said he was dodging the debate. And I said, no, that is not what I'm dodging. I'm not well. So for that matter, I can come. I can attend it. So when I got there and they forcefully they changed the day
And the next day I went there. You don't expect me to go there and say I'm well. I'm still sick. But I was still sick and coughing. It was not an intentional cough against Nana Akufo-Addo. In any case, Nana Akufo-Addo is a lawyer. Lawyers are taught in school and in their practice to be able not to be distracted by their opponent. In court, you speak and somebody get up and talk. So if I'm coughing, it has nothing to do with the message Nana Akufo-Addo has. I see his feelings about whether some political party supported what or compromised their position. My brother, nobody goes into an election to lose. If you are running an election, you are running an election to win. Why do you think that I want to lose and somebody to be president for me? I also want to be president. I put more than 1,500 billboards across this country. I put posters all over. I spend my money, not anybody's money, to do the campaign. Why would I want somebody to be president while I sit and watch?
So are you saying that Nana Addo will be happy to see you tomorrow?
I don't have a problem with Nana Akufo-Addo. I spoke with Nana even after the debate. We had a chat. We went on. I mean, that is what I'm trying to let Ghanaians understand. You see, in politics, the leaders meet together. They have their time. They drink tea and drink wine together and dine together and have.
But have you met Nana Addo since we went to the polls on December 7th?
Yes. I've met him a couple of times. So what I want Ghanaians to do, you have that perception that flag bearers are fighting. Flag bearers meet, and I just had a meeting with all the 6 flag bearers. We just left the grounds and on my way home, and we have peace. We want them to know that, especially Hassan Yerga, we have flag bearers. We are not fighting one another. We don't also want supporters to do that. That was the reason why I welcomed President Mills, to tell Ghanaians and to let them understand that flag bearers, we can do what you don't claim. We meet, and if you want to rule this country, mind you, you cannot divide the people and rule. You cannot separate the people and rule. If I want to be a president of this country, that means it is Ghanaians who are going to vote me and not PNC members. Remember that before you can become president, you need to have 51+ or 50+1% to become a president. You're not going to get them from your party alone. Some people from different political parties must join you. And how do you get them to join you? Your message, your strategy, your policy. That is what you need to do. To let Ghanaians understand that you are better than the others. So if I am punching the president, if I punch the president, does not mean I hate you. If I bring out my ideas and punch Nana Akufo-Addo, doesn't mean I hate you. We are on this contest to win, to punch one another and win, to tell the truth and win, to bring out your strategies and your visions, the visions you think that is the best to move Ghana, the vision you think that if Ghanaians give you the mandate, you will rule well. That is all that we are doing. Nothing else.
Well, just hold on and let Doug respond to.
Okay, I'm sorry, I thought you had finished.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, so hello.
I appeal to Doug to not to put this thing or feel personal about it. This country is bigger than Nana Akufo-Addo. This country is bigger than Hassan Ayerga. This country is bigger than the President of the Republic of Ghana.
All right.
We must all understand that preaching that peace is not meant for Nana. Whether I chastise or punch Nana, it has nothing to do with going to appeal to him to let his party supporters stay calm.
All right, Mr. Ayaga, hold the line again and let Doc respond to you.
I understand his sentiment, but I have this to say. With respect to democratic politics and the development consolidation of democratic politics, that democratic politics is about competition between parties consisting of like-minded individuals, you know, and their policies for to be voted for into power, you know, to control and manage the resources of the state or of the political community to provide for the people their needs. Okay. And therefore, there are rules for doing that, and that is what we call politics. The rules for resolving the conflict arising out of the allocation of resources is what democratic politics is about. And that is why these rules are what we call the rules, the rule of law. And the institutions going to court and all, it's all about the entrenchment of the rule of law. And therefore, this matter sent to court to me, it's about the rule of law and not the rule of man, as I have traced, you know, from our immediate post-independence period during the time of Kwame Nkrumah. So, I understand the sentiment, but I think that, you know, at the end of the day, we should see to it that there is the triumph of rule of law. What Nana Akufo-Addo has done shows one thing. After all, as I've indicated, Akufo-Addo and his party have not taken down to topple any government. And the problem there is in this country is this, that since 1992, all the elections have been contested. MPP won the Victorian village in 1992. Then in 1996, Kufuor made some expressed some reservations about the elections, but accepted the result. That was 1996. In 2000, we did not see much controversy. In 2004, the elections NDC contested and went to court a year later. Okay, in 2008, I was in the country. Abu Fabo wanted to go to court, and this time, what he has done is seem to try to vindicate the stolen verdict, as it were. So this show some problems with our electoral system, and the root of this lies in the transition that we made from military authoritarian PNDC rule to civilian rule. And there is the perception out there there is a group of people who want to retain power or be in charge of the pillars of power by all means. So these are the issues that we must seem to address. Must be seen to address. And there is this problem because there's no truth. Metaphor. My friend, when there is the truth, when there is honesty, you know, when there is transparency, there will be peace. You know, peace does not arise out of justice. Justice lies in the bosom of truth. From truth arises justice. And indeed, with regards to this matter, law, the truth is absolute. We are not only dealing with the reputation of the law, we are dealing with the facts and the evidence. And on the basis of the facts and the evidence, you know, underpinned by the rules that govern the conduct of the elections, that the Supreme Court, you know, is expected to reach its decisions. So, look, I'm worried about these things because, you know, I'm a Ghanaian. I'm over 50 years. I have three kids, one of whom is, about 4 years. And I'm worried. This talk about peace and peace and peace and peace. And let's be mindful of this, Father. Politics in Ghana has not only become too factionalized like us and Kotoko. It has also become tribal. So those who are talking about war, if there should be war, who is going to fight against who? Look, I'm telling you, for Ghana, we are talking about national cohesion and national integration. And if there should be anything, some people have that view. Ghana may not hold together. Now, even Ivory Coast, you know, it's been fractured into the north and the south. Let me make this last point. If there's any threat, we should expect, as I've indicated, in Africa, from incumbent government. After all, Gbagbo refused to accept the results, you know, until the French intervened.
But Doc,
that's the example we have.
Doc, don't you think we should put the past behind us? Because that's what Mr. Ayaga seems to be doing, to strengthen peace, even though there were alleged tensions on the platform during the debates. I'm asking this because of your early observations.
Yeah, the history is important. The history must serve as a guide. And the history has shown that sometimes government, incumbent government, did not accept the rulings of our courts. You know, from 1979, Lehman did that. And let me make this one observation. Between 1979 and 1981, when the coup, you know, the rulings toppled and his people toppled the Lehman administration, our democracy had indeed advanced. We had demonstrated to Africa that we like our multi-party democracy. Look, in 1979, elections, general elections, parliamentary and presidential elections, the presidential elections went into a runoff. There was the first elections in June 18th, and 3 weeks later, in July, there was elections. And the elections were held the election day. The following morning, I think by 10:30, Victor Wusu, the leader of PFP, rang Dr. Hila Iliman on landline, those days we didn't have mobile phone, to concede defeat and congratulate Iliman. So we were far ahead of these Malians, you know, what they have done. And there was the interaction between the opposition and the governing party was so good. You know, there was no call for 1981 coup. If there had not been the 1981 coup, you know, which was characterized by widespread abuse of human rights, by this time would have been far. So what I'm saying is that I accept this sentiment.
Right.
I don't think it is necessary that we should allow things to cool and wait for next week. If I should advise President Mahama and then Akufo-Addo, I would say that they should slam their doors in the face of whoever. Unless this thing is a ploy by some... But let me make this last point, finally.
Briefly.
Even there's a suspicion that this Peace Council is a institution of patronage. After all, they are paid by the state.
All right.
After all, they are paid by the state. And we know the history of this country.
All right, We want to thank you for your time with us. Dr. Cyril Richardson is a political scientist. Now, let me come back to you, Mr. Ayaga.
Let me be very clear. I think Doc is not there to educate people about peace. He is more or less talking about who is going to win the election and what happened in court and who and what and what. This is not what we are talking about. I am not a judge, and I'm not worried about what happened in court. What our appeal is to Ghanaians to maintain peace. We should stop referring Ghana history to what happened, who called who to accept what. No, we are not arguing about election petition. What we are talking about is Ghanaians should maintain peace in this country and accept the verdict of the election, the Supreme Court. And we are appealing to Ghanaians, appealing to the two of them to also accept. If you come out like this to say even you are aware that the Peace Council are being bribed, I mean, it doesn't help the peace message that everybody is sending out there. You are making or causing more havoc in the system. Don't say such words. A mature person at 51 will not be talking about things like that. You should be talking about how we can hand over government to our children and our next generation. We should be talking about how we can maintain the peace that we have inherited from our forefathers. We should be talking about how Ghana should be as peaceful and to understand that.
All right.
There are many elections coming after 2012.
All right, now, Mr. Ayaga, let's look at the meetings that you'll be having with the two of them. Is it not possible to bring the two together to meet you?
It's possible to, I think, to meet with both of them at the same place. But what we are saying is that they might not have the same time at the same day. They might have different times. So what we want to appeal now is to let them understand that, look, we were part of the team. We were part of the people who went for the contest. You know, any one of us could have been president. But we have accepted the fate of this country. We want this country to stay blessed. We want the kids going to school to continue to go to school. We want doctors to continue to go to hospitals. We want students to go to their classrooms. We want nurses to go to the hospital and help treat our patients. We don't want any kind of crisis that because of power, this country should stand still. No. Power is coming from God. There is a quotation from the Bible that all power comes from God. So let the power come from God and let us not fight because I want to be president or you want to be president. If Ghanaians, and I will appeal to Ghanaians next time in an election, whoever you want to be your president, give the person 70% of your mandate so that they won't have a confusion like this again. Mm-hmm. But our appeal, Ghanaians, Ghana is for you. It's not for Hassan Ayaga. It's not for only Nana Akufo-Addo or only the president of the school. It's for all of us. We have a duty to play. We have a responsibility to uphold. And that is to make sure that this country is peaceful, irrespective of our political affiliation or religious background. Ayaga stands for peace. The other presidential candidates stand for peace. So we must all stand for peace so that Ghana will remain Ghana.
So
thank you very much.
All right. Yeah. We want to thank you for your time with us. That was.
If you had a question, you can still ask.
Briefly, I was asking you to state exactly what you will tell them tomorrow.
I don't want to tell them what we'll hear. I want to tell them what is the truth. We are not going to tell them what they want to hear. No. We are going to tell them what the stand is and what we should all fight for. And that is peace. It's the only thing that we enjoy. My sister, out of the national cake, there's so many mineral resources and natural resources, gold, oil, and diamonds. You and I do not get a share. The only thing we get is the peace. So let us maintain this peace, even if we are not getting the share of the national cake. We are poor people from so many regions. There are many people, even without war, who they can't feed themselves 3 square meals a day. What will happen if there's war? We don't want this. We want peace. We want peace.
All right, Mr. Ayaga, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight. It's been a pleasure
talking to you.
Hassan Ayaga is a PNC presidential candidate in the 2012 election. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. This segment is brought to you in collaboration with Star Ghana. Security couples have watered down a U.S. cable purportedly cautioning American citizens in Ghana to be mindful of their stay in the country because of a supposed backlash resulting from the impending verdict of the Supreme Court next week. To National Security Coordinator Colonel Larry Bevlulandi, it is normal for the U.S. to issue such cautions to its citizens now and then, but this does not mean there is fire about to rain down on the country. Interior Minister Kwesi Ahoy believes the direction of the statement is not entirely right because the security measures put in place to arrest any eventuality are top-notch. And we had scheduled the chat with the Interior Minister on this, but unfortunately, we are unable to get through him now. And so we speak to Mr. Bombande, Emmanuel Bombande, who is a security analyst. Good evening, Mr. Bombande, and you are welcome.
Yeah, hello, good evening, madam, and good evening to all your listeners.
Mr. Bombande, why do you think the U.S. Embassy in Accra would issue a cable to its citizens in Ghana, which looks like the country is about to go to war?
Thank you, madam, but I need just 30 seconds of your permission to make a comment on the preceding interview that you made. And the reason is simple. There was an insinuation about the National Peace Council. I'm a resource person to the Peace Council in terms of civil society support. It's important I make the correction.
All right, go ahead.
They don't collect salary. The Peace Council members are not paid. They are an institution of the state under Article 818 passed by Parliament, and they are supposed to be the bridge builders. They are supposed to be the type of institution of the state that should help us to promote peace. I was so sad that the learned professor talked about his three children, and at the end of his interview, he insinuated that an institution of the state mandated to promote peace should not do what they should do because he thinks that they are compromised and that they are bribed by the state. That is the threat to the peace of this country. And I'm sorry I have to make that correction, but I have made it, and I'm happy now to respond to your question.
All right.
Yes. First of all, it is very normal for countries to issue the type of advisory or precaution to their citizens who live in any country when that country feels that an event happening needed the type of advice that they should issue to their citizens. So in that context, what the United States Embassy in Ghana did was to draw the attention of their citizens living in Ghana about the 29th of August being an important day of the Supreme Court making a decision following the 50 days or 49 days of the Supreme Court hearings. In that context, there is nothing wrong with it. But if you put all that in the type of anxiety that has preceded all these days, one cannot blame anybody from suggesting that it sends the signals that rather increases the anxiety that Ghanaians have been experiencing. But I think what we should do is to disconnect the statement, which was not addressed to the people of Ghana, but rather to citizens of the United States, and decouple that from what we continue to do as Ghanaians to ensure that we continue to live in peace. Because we cannot prevent a government who has diplomatic relations with our country and who have a mission in our country to direct a statement to their own citizens. We cannot stop them from doing that. But what we can do is to continue to work to ensure that we coexist peacefully, respect one another, and continue to live in peace.
But then the cable stops short of asking U.S. citizens to leave the country because there is an impending trouble. Has it become so bad as to warrant such a cable from the U.S. mission?
Well, first of all, if you look at that statement from the United States Embassy, it did not say that they have come to a conclusion that there is a certain potential threat, and that's why they are advising their citizens. It never said that. All it said was that there should be, their citizens should be cautious on the 29th of August. Later on, the public affairs officer then said that, for example, you could have the volunteers of the Peace Corps. You could have a Peace Corps volunteer working somewhere in Paga or somewhere in Axim and has not even been following what has been going on in the Supreme Court. Now, they have a way of reaching their own citizens through their own communication channels to draw their attention to important things that are happening that their citizens should be aware of. So all they said was that if you are a U.S. citizen, on the 29th of August, be aware that this is an important date in terms of a verdict. And so be careful in how you are in a crowd or in places just for the protection of yourself. Now, their government has the responsibility to ensure their safety and protection whether they live in the United States or live outside the United States. So they have given that directive to their citizens and not for us who are Ghanaians. And that is the context we must understand the statement.
So if I understood you well, are you saying this cable was unnecessary in the first place?
Let me put it this way. If you are reading the cable within our own political context, which now talks about our peace and security, the cable was not necessary, speaking as a Ghanaian, because the assurances and all the efforts from the national security, from civil society, the peace council, we are very confident that on 29th, I guess, we will sustain peace. But if you are looking at that cable from the lenses of a United States ambassador trying to reach his people, it was necessary as a diplomatic communication channel to his own citizens. And it's not only the United States who do this. We in Ghana, at one point in the first wave of the Egyptian revolution, Ghana issued a statement asking Ghanaians in Cairo to be careful where they go. It's our right to do that. And so at that point, there should be no difficulty at all. The only thing is, we are analyzing the impact of that statement in our context and making conclusions for the United States. And I'm saying that we should decouple the two and not make that link.
But do you suspect they are doing their own due diligence and underground work to know there is trouble ahead?
No, I will not be able to. And I'm saying this in all confidence, that if a government arrived at a conclusion about what they determined as a threat, do not forget that there is a strong bilateral relationship between the government of Ghana and the government of the United States, to the extent that just yesterday, the Secretary of the Navy was visiting Ghana and meeting our president. They would have directly engaged with our government in talking about that. And that would have been completely closed door. None of us, including those of us who advocate for peace, would have heard it. The directive had nothing to do with their own intelligence gathering. It was simply a precautionary message addressed not to the people of Ghana, but to their citizens living in Ghana.
Well, now, away from this warning to U.S. citizens, there is a peace-building meeting between presidential candidates of old and the two protagonists in the Supreme Court case. And you are a peace-builder yourself. Haven't we overstretched this peace talks?
Yeah, thank you, madam. You give me the opportunity to probably provide some insight. Let me put it this way. Right from the word go, when the Supreme Court process was unfolding, I was one of the people who advocated that we need to be very balanced so that we do not, on the platform of peace, create the impression that Ghana was confronting a threat, and for that matter, we're likely going to have the type of violence associated with post-election scenarios. But I changed my view as we went along for a very simple reason. If you listen to the airwaves on some radio stations and television discussions, political party activists started to communicate in a certain manner that rather produced the threat about the potential for violence. It was at that point that Ghanaians from all walks of life started calling the peace council, calling civil society. I am nothing, but I received several phone calls. What are you people doing? It was at that time that you then started seeing the mobilization of the peace effort, so that these communicators who were on platforms and threatening, and the evidence is that some of them even now went out of line and were held for contempt, that you then saw the increasing clarion call for peace. So let's not forget that if these party activists were not communicating the way they were doing, we will not have had this type of mobilization for peace. But be it as it has come to pass, the effort for peace is simply to say that it is better we reassure ourselves and have our safety and protection rather than be sorry that we do not educate ourselves for peace. To that extent, we should all appreciate the efforts for peace. But I would also agree that there is an extent to which you don't go in an overdrive. You make this become overwhelmingly a problem just because every day you are hammering peace, peace, peace. Because there's a difference between calling for peace in terms of pacification and calling for peace, addressing the fundamental issues that need to be addressed for peace to be sustained. And one of those fundamental issues, we continue to engage in terms of how dialogue would allow us to coexist. So to conclude on this question, I think we should appreciate the efforts for peace, but let's not go into the overdrive and overflow this, and it now becomes like trying to kill a fly with a sledgehammer.
All right, Mr. Bombandi, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much, madam, and thank you to all your listeners.
Emmanuel Bombandi is a security, and Alexander also joining us on the line is the Interior Minister, Kwesi Ahoy. Good evening, sir. You're welcome.
Yeah, a very good evening to you and your discerning listeners. Good evening.
Well, Mr. Minister, the U.S. statement we cited yesterday stopped short of asking American citizens to park out of the country. But has it gotten so bad that the U.S. will issue a statement like this, which I believe has been picked up by the rest of the world?
I thought you yourself has actually answered the question. You said it stopped short of asking Americans to pack their things and leave the country. And that's precisely what it is. The U.S. Embassy will not put it at the stand. There's no necessity for that. There are times when the U.S. embassies around the world would instruct or advise their citizens to get ready to be shipped out of those countries where impending danger is imminent. And sometimes they will even send their plane loads or ships to carry their citizens out of the place of danger. The Ghanaian situation is far away cry from that. That is not the message that was sent out. So don't put it out as if the U.S. embassy fell short of ordering that. But that is not the intention. That was not what they meant for. This was just a normal precautionary statement to the American citizens in Ghana that the court is going to rule on the 29th and that they are advised to take care of themselves, you know, be cautious about how they move around the place. As far as I'm concerned, that statement, that advice is no different from the advice that all of Ghanaians, peace-loving Ghanaians, have been giving to ourselves all over the period up to today and will continue after today. So really, the American message is nothing different. The priest in this country, the religious leaders, the traditional leaders, the political leaders, student leaders, everybody, every discerning group and every concerned citizen of Ghana We've been talking to ourselves on the need to comport ourselves. You the media, you've been schooled, you've been taken through why you should not allow your pen and your voice to be the seed of discord. You've been advised to make sure that what you write and what you say has not sparked, you know, the flame. So Ghana is prepared, and we've been preparing ourselves toward it. The security agencies have been on the route march to show that physically, logistically, and psychologically, they are ready to thwart any attempt by any group that may want to create a bit of mayhem, if I should use that word. But as Ghanaians are concerned, the call is for all of us to abide the rule, the ruling of the court, and allow peace a chance so that we can move on with our lives as usual. So really, I do not think, and I would not have, that we play the American embassy statement out of context, out of proportion. It is nowhere near the way you put it, that they fell short of calling on their people to pack out as if Ghana is going to burn tomorrow. Ghana is not burning tomorrow.
But then, are you going to send a protest letter to the embassy to register government's displeasure over the move?
Why do we have to send a protest message? I've told you this is a precautionary advice that the embassy is giving to its citizens, which it does routinely across the rest of the world. Every day when you go to the American embassy site, all the sites in the world, you'll find similar statements. It is you who is creating the problem. It is you who have misread the message, and it is you, and when I say you, it's the media that is trying to hide this contest. There is nothing wrong with the American embassy statement, and I do not think it's necessary for government to ask for any withdrawal or reposition of the statement. It is you that I have issues with, and that's why I'm saying don't put it the way I put it, that they fell short of calling on their citizens to pack off and leave this country.
But then, can you reassure panic-stricken U.S. citizens, and indeed all Ghanaians, that Ghana is peaceful and will remain so even after the 29th of this month?
I think I've already answered that question. I've given that assurance that this is what the whole of Ghana has been going through before, during, and after the election, and now before and during the Supreme Court hearing, and we are waiting for after. Every Ghanaian peace-loving Ghanaian has given the assurance that we need to keep our country together, that we should not fall the way other countries are falling, because at the end of the day, we have the next 4 years to rectify whatever we think needs to be rectified. And we do not need to kill ourselves and burn this country, at the end of which there will be nothing else left for us. So that assurance has already been given. And as far as the Ministry of Interior is concerned, as far as the security agencies are concerned, they have consistently put out that they are ready, prepared to guarantee the safety of property and life in the country. I think that is what Ghanaians need to hear, and that's what they are waiting for. And as the Minister for Interior, I can give my word that we are very ready. I told somebody this morning that I have lived a greater part of my life in this beautiful country of ours. My children are going to take over from me. We have nowhere else to go but this country. And therefore, whatever it takes for me to protect the integrity of this country, the peace and safety of this country, I have to do that for the sake of my children. And I believe you also have the same for your family. If you have kids, you want to believe the same and do the same for your family. So use your medium to also project and propagate the peace message.
All right, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you to your listeners.
Kwesi Ahoy is the Interior Minister. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Let's read some of your text messages. And this one says, I've keenly followed almost all the interviews granted Dr. Cyril Richardson. All his arguments indicate he argues from NPP standpoint. Is he interviewed as an NPP finalist or a general analyst? And that's from Wisdom Ho. And Ibrahim Wa says, Hassan Ayaga and his colleagues have taken a good decision and has nothing to do with the presidential debate. And Fidelis Efijakwapa says, Ghanaians should prove the U.S. wrong by accepting the court's verdict in good faith. And Abdul Aziz Sukura says, Ghana's infant democracy is being overstretched and I am worried. And Azizo to UCC says, it's rather unfortunate that when everyone is expecting peace after the Supreme Court verdict, only the U.S. see violence. Ghanaians, let's prove to the U.S. that they are wrong this time round. And Napoleon Sankofa Bey says, meeting of President Mahama and Akufo-Addo tomorrow will further enhance democracy after the Supreme Court ruling. Patrick Sebefriend Dansuma says, would the NDC or NPP take the Supreme Court case to the International Court if the verdict is not in their favor? And Zakaria says, this is not a time for jokes. Ayaga should stop thinking of meeting Nana tomorrow. Many thanks for your text messages. A Tamale High Court has sentenced four NPP youth activists to 36 years imprisonment. The accused persons were arrested following a political clash between NPP and NDC youth in front of the Tamale Central Market about 4 years ago. One of the convicted persons was found guilty of murder and conspiracy to murder and has been sentenced to death by hanging. Let's go to the phone lines and speak to lawyer Obri Boahin, who is one of their lawyers. Good evening, Mr. Obi Boahine, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Was this ruling expected?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was a travesty of justice, miscarriage of justice. the decision by the Euros was not only incurably bad, but terribly bad, and cannot be supported by the pieces of evidence on record. It's serious. Serious in the sense that, you know, there had been an earlier trial, and the trial took place in Tamale. The jurors who sat on the earlier one could not return a verdict of unanimity. So there ought to be a retrial. For security reasons, we petitioned the Chief Justice, and the matter was transferred to Balogatanga High Court before Justice Kwesi Kumar. We went there 4 or 5 times. The prosecution witnesses did not suffer. Then at the last agenda, when we are going to make a prayer for the court to decide them, another transfer letter came from the Chief Justice that he should come back to Tamale and appear before the same High Court judge. Are you listening? Hello?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
Yes. Another transfer from one High Court to another is to be carried out only by the Chief Justice. But the circumstances of this particular case is so strange that for the first time in my practice that you have a situation where a case has been transferred from one High Court to another region, and it has been transferred back to the same region to be placed before the same judge. And what is strange about this case is that when this case was transferred to Balogatanga, the prosecution witnesses didn't come. But when the case was transferred back to Tamale, they all surfaced at the same time. We are wondering why the state was insisting that the trial should take place in only Tamale and no other place.
All right. So what are you going to do? Are you appealing against this decision?
Oh, yes, definitely, yes. But you see, it's so interesting. It's quite humiliating. Where you have 5 accused persons, all of them activists of MPP, all of them being Abudus. It is not fair. It is not fair at all. All of them activists of MPP, all of them being Abudus. Mm. And when the prayer comes out of Tamale, in any other place apart from Tamale, the witnesses will not come.
Right.
And when the trial is supposed to go on in Tamale, the witnesses will appear. The state insisted that the matter should be heard in Tamale. That is not fair.
All right. We want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Lawyer Ubi Boahene is one of the lawyers of the NPP youth activists who were sentenced to 36 years imprisonment in Tamale. And this is where we wrap up for tonight's edition of the program. My producers were Edmund Tete, Christopher Siedu, and John Pobi. Baba Otu read the summaries, and Isaac Yao Edu was our sound engineer. My name is Agatha Samuel. Many thanks for staying tuned.